There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is Jimmy Geek. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and as we count down the 50 days of Dragon Con, this is the podcast that we do that in. Probably wind up having around 35 podcasts at the end of this and about 15 other posts as it goes. This is a very special episode. We are joined tonight by Kevin. Kevin is a fan, and we're doing a couple, like I said in a previous podcast, we're going to do a few of these throughout the 50 days. Well, first of all, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, John. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it is our pleasure. Absolutely our pleasure. So first of all, Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself, what makes you a geek, and some of the, you're big in podcasting too, so let me tell us a little bit about that too.
Oh, sure. Well, I've been a lifelong geek, big science fiction fan, especially TV shows and movies. For years and years and years, and always enjoyed talking to my fellow geeks, but there were never many around me growing up back in the 70s and such. So the explosion of the internet was my chance to realize I'm not alone. And so it was a lot of fun getting into some fandoms, and then, as you mentioned, getting involved in several podcasts in the last 6, 7, 8 years has been a ton of fun, and it led me to Dragon Con many years ago.
When was your first Dragon Con? Oh, sorry. Wind into the microphone there. When was your first Dragon Con?
First one I went to was 2005.
2005. Nice. So you've been going, this will be your seventh year? Have you gone consistently? Or?
Yeah, every year since. So whatever, quick math, seven, eight, I lose track.
Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you, where did you learn about Dragon Con? And then what made you want to go to Dragon Con besides really cool?
I had heard about the con, I'm not sure, maybe online discussion forums. I was a big, and still am, a big brown coat fan of Firefly. That's my first podcast was on The Signal.
Yes.
And I had heard for a couple of years about it. I kind of learned a little bit. I thought, might be something I like, but I have no idea. I didn't have anybody I knew that went. I wasn't sure what it might be like. And I finally, because that was the year Serenity came out, and a couple of the folks who were involved in that podcast and a couple of other podcasters that I knew just from over the internet were going to be there. I said, hey, let's take a shot at it. So I went down there very blind, didn't really know anyone, and was just amazed how comfortable I got, how fast and how warm the community was as far as accepting, total newbies.
Right. Yeah. And give us an idea. Whereabouts don't tell me exactly where, but whereabouts in the world do you live?
I'm just south of Boston.
Okay. You're on the Eastern Seaboard, obviously. So it wasn't too far of a drive. Wasn't like your did you drive or you fly down the first time?
No, I flew down. A 3-hour flight.
Yeah. Okay. So because Atlanta would drive from there would be what like
too long.
Yeah, carry the 6.
Some odd miles. I'm not that much of a car trip lover, so.
Where do you have a memory of your first bit of sci-fi that you ever got into as a kid? Or
sure, actually, the first memory that sticks with me is my dad. Yes, I am this old when I say this because my dad took me to see 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Wow!
And I remember not understanding one iota of it, but thought it was so cool as a kid.
Do you understand any of it now?
Maybe a little bit more, but even then, I hope no one asked me too many questions because
right. I can't. I don't know. I've never understood. I mean, it's cool. It's visually interesting, and bits of the story are compelling. But I'm still not 100% sure. I guess it's the same with all Kubrick films. It's either you get it or you don't. I guess.
Yeah, that was a springboard for me to really get into later on in the 70s some TV shows like the original Kolchak, The Night Stalker. I don't know if you remember that one.
Vaguely.
Yeah, kind of thought that was cool. Vampires and ghosts and aliens.
And I remember. Yeah.
So that was my kind of stuff. And obviously Star Trek reruns the original series and things like that.
So what are you into these days? What kind of sci-fi or geek world are you into these days?
Well, I do a weekly podcast called Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV with a couple of friends of mine, Wendy and Brent, and we cover all the genre shows that are on TV, news about them and discuss them, so I watch way too many of them.
What's your favorites right now?
Oh, goodness, if I had to pick some favorites, certainly Fringe.
Ah, awesome. Yes.
Lost Girl is an excellent show.
Lost Girl, what's that?
It's running on Sci-Fi now. It's originally from Canada. Sci-Fi has been re-airing it. Lead character is a succubus.
Oh. Well, that's probably why I haven't seen it, because I have avoided Sci-Fi like the plague lately. I mean, I haven't been on there since they announced that Eureka was going to be canceled. I haven't been back on. Even when – I didn't even realize Eureka was back on the air until last week. And it's last episode. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, whoa. And so I haven't been on Sci-Fi at all since then. What else are you watching besides those two things?
Oh, Warehouse 13, Alphas.
Alphas, yeah.
True Blood, Walking Dead.
Oh, so you are all over the place, aren't you?
I'm all over the place, yes. I probably watch close to 10 or 12 shows a week.
Yeah. I heard I was listening to your latest Last Call.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Grimm and how you came back to be a fan of Grimm. I had lost interest in Grimm, I think, about the same time that you did.
Yep.
And my wife kept watching it, and she was going on about it. Because, you know, my wife is not a major geek. She does get into some of the stuff, but not she's nowhere near what you or I would be. But she kept watching, so I was like, all right, I'll give it another shot. And I was like, and you were absolutely correct. I think you hit it on the nose when the second half of that season just kind of made up for any of the any of the problems that were in the first half of that season.
Yeah, and the podcast is a great example, and you know this very well from all your time at DragonCon too. I gave up on Grimm after however many episodes, but it was because of a lot of the other listeners to our podcast and the web in general that other fans are going, no, Kev, I think it's worth a try. So that larger community, you know, reinforced that I should go do it, and I'm so glad I did. I mean, that's what I love is the being able to sample that whole community of folks, you know, very similar to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the this past season of Fringe?
It wasn't my favorite. Mm-hmm. Very honestly, I thought it was a little stronger in the earlier seasons, but I think it's setting up for really going out on a real high note, you know, in the final season this fall.
Well, is that official now?
Yes.
Oh, it's official. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
But it is Fox. I'm surprised it's been around this long. The damn you, Fox!
Yeah, they do take a lot of dings from us geeks, but you got to give them some cred. They're at least willing to try more sci-fi than most other networks, too.
That is true, but they do bury them on Friday nights and then pretend there's no audience. But,
hey, we got DVRs nowadays. It's not like the old days.
Right. So and I got to admit, I did not catch Fringe, Firefly the first time out. It actually took me after DVD to catch Fringe. I keep saying Fringe. Firefly. They both begin with F and both were on Friday.
And on Fox.
So there you go. That's why. A big F for Fox. But anyway, I don't know. How do you feel about Fringe as far as the Ultimate Universe? Because the Ultimate Universe stuff didn't come until like season two, right? Or
yes.
It might have been hinted.
We got a twinge over to the very end. Of
right.
Without being too spoilery, near the end of season one.
Yeah, if you haven't watched at least the first two seasons, then you're on. But how do you feel about that? Because I actually felt like the first season was kind of it was more X-Files esque, and it probably deserved those comparisons because it was more Monster of the Week type thing. But I thought when they went off onto the Ultimate Universe, it really got its stride going.
Oh, it did. They found their footing, and they really knew how to keep hitting those high marks. Mm-hmm. But the great thing is with a show like Fringe, while it was very episodic and kind of a little all over the board there in season one, if you go back now with a rewatch, a lot of that early stuff was referenced later on. So they did a great job with continuity things,
right.
Which, you know, we love to see as geeks when you get big arc stuff, you know.
Well, it makes it more rewatchable too. So
absolutely, you know, yeah, it does.
What are you looking forward to this year at DragonCon? And speaking of X Files, I know that Gillian Anderson has been announced. So what are you looking forward to this year?
Oh, wow. I always love, I mean, for me, the big thing that I love about Con is very much the community. I'm big into the fan panels. I love seeing some of the guests, but as you know, after many, many years of seeing a lot of the celebs, there aren't many that I haven't had a chance to see. And I really, the conversations with my fellow geeks, I volunteer in a few tracks to be a panelist. So I get to both sit up front and have people poke fun at me and then turn the tables on them. So oftentimes it's just a chance to get involved in many of those events.
Which tracks do you mostly hang out in these days?
Mostly I'll be in Kelly Harkin's American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Media, Joe Crow, the new track director over at American Sci-Fi Classics, and also Wayne Hutchinson's Whedon Universe track of the spot you'll probably find me most often in.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to have, I think, most of those guys on, and gals, on later in our countdown as we wrap up towards the end of the 50 days. What was I going to say? What do you do as far as the big events? Do you go to any of the big events or the dances or the masquerade or anything like that?
Not usually, no. I kind of shy away from a lot of those. I mean, the Whedon Universe often does a shindig or some of those other things. Mm-hmm. I'll pop in and, you know, see some friends, but I don't tend to be much of a party goer. You're more likely to find me at 11 o'clock in the bowels of the Hyatt somewhere on some lost panel of discussion or something.
Nice.
Than going to some of the big events. Though we've started a new one that I now co-host on Saturday. It tends to be a little earlier that we do in Kelly's track, called the Saturday Night Sci-Fi Drive-In Theater, where we screen a bad B movie and do a little MST3K type stuff.
Nice. How many years have you been doing that? Has it been a couple?
This will be the second year. Yeah. Myself and Joe Crow do it. Last year we did Sharktopus.
Nice.
And, we had a blast with that. The crowd really got into it. We packed the room. So this year we're opening up two track rooms to do it, and we're going to do Megapython versus Gatoroid.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Team Tiffany and Team Debbie, Joe and I are going to take sides, get some T-shirts. So it should be a lot of fun.
Nice. Sci-fi is always good for a B movie. It's funny. I don't know. What's your take on this? Do you think they take themselves seriously or not?
Well,
I mean, the people that are making those movies, are they taking themselves seriously?
Well, as full disclosure, I do a weekly podcast called Saturday B Movie Reel, where I talk about all the sci-fi originals.
Right.
So I'm a little close to it in that sense. And I mean, most of those movies, a lot of folks don't know, sci-fi doesn't make these things. They just license them from the third party independent companies.
Right.
So, some of these ones are total camp, you know, a la Sharktopus or Megapython, and some are a little more serious. Recently, they had one called True Bloodthirst, which was about vampires. That was a very serious, very well-done horror-type movie. So it depends. Sometimes it's a lot of fun, and they hit the mark. Sometimes you're rolling your eyes 5 minutes into it.
Yeah, well, when sharks jump out of the water and take helicopters out of the air, you know, it's time to back it in.
I have to stand up and cheer when they do that.
Oh, okay. You got it the other way around. You go the other way. I got you.
Yeah, you gotta love the cheese if you're going to love these movies.
what day do you normally get in? Are you a Thursday guy or are you Wednesday? What day do you normally get in?
Well, it's funny. Now, I've been coming in on Wednesday, and as you well know, that was because of how, quote, bad the registration lines used to be, which has now become a thing of the past for all your newbies.
Yes.
So, but I figured I'm still in on Wednesday. It gives me a chance to catch up with some folks before Con hits full speed. So I'll be in on Wednesday.
Sweet. And what do you wind up doing Thursday? Well, now that you don't have to wait in line.
usually I'll just be going around to some of those track rooms, saying hello to the track directors that I know, got to know many over the years, to, you know, double check time of events or if other friends get in. Much like you guys do, you have your Trader Vic's tradition.
Yeah.
I usually, you know, we try to line up a few of us to just sit down and, you know, just talk before we, like I said, everything starts happening left and right.
Yeah. And that's not a bad hint for everybody. Don't open up doors that aren't supposed to be open. But if you see a track director or you see somebody that's frantically setting up the room or whatever and you know them, stay high. Don't obviously be interrupt them too much, but if it looks like they could use a hand with something, be sure to offer a hand, because they you know, they're volunteers too. So if you happen to see somebody that's just, you know, struggling, a director or a track director or somebody that's just struggling with carrying something down the aisle or something, offer to give them a hand. All right. Jeez.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
That's been the great thing the last couple of years with your podcast, John. It's so great to hear more from these folks as you know, just put in hours and hours to set it up so the rest of us get to have a lot of fun. It's really great to feel closer to them, to understand them a little more, and to be able to be a part of it too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's enjoyable to me, and it also gives me something to do on a weeknight. Because, you know, it's a rerun season right now, so there's nothing really on. I got maybe a couple of Leverage just restarted. I'll watch that. But besides that, I don't really have anything to do. So a little bit more about you. What other podcasts have you done? And The Signal, by the way, are they still doing The Signal?
Yeah, going okay. strong. Yeah, I was on that one for probably, goodness, 5 or 6 years, but they're still going very strong. The Firefly fandom is large.
Right.
It's amazing, because usually what happens oftentimes at con, I did the news segment on that podcast, like I said, for like 5 years. So I go to events at con now, and I will literally have people come up from behind me, tap me on the shoulder and go, I know you. I recognize your voice. Because they've been listening to the podcast for years, and my face means nothing to them, but I open my mouth and start talking, and the fans, you know, recognize it. So as you know, being a podcaster, sometimes your voice is more well-known than your face.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because The Signal is one of the – it was one of the original, what I would call, fan casts out there.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure as you've been, you know, you've been around long enough that, you know, when podcasting – before all the movie stars and comedians and whatnot started podcasting, the community was relatively small and tight-knit, but there weren't very many – people were just kind of trying to figure out what they were going to do, but this I wanted to say the Firefly. The Signal came on pretty strong with being very specific and finding a niche in the podcasting community, because it was very focused, and then it just kind of showed. It's one of those things that kind of showed that, you know, if you're focused, it doesn't matter how large your audience is, they will be engaged, and you will grow an audience too, because, you know, people are looking for specific things. So. That's a great. Were you on there from day one at the very beginning, or?
No, I think I joined at episode 2.
Oh,
summer of 2005. So
well,
technically, I can't say I was the beginning, but pretty darn close. Yes.
Yeah, and they've gone through different cast members on there throughout the years, though. So
it's always a big crew. Les and Carrie, the hosts, have been there since, you know, very very beginning. But yeah, that's the great thing about it. It's really such a committed group, as many of the other fan casts I've done too. The same way, it's just so much fun to get with a passionate group of friends and create something bigger than yourself.
Right, right. What other fan casts have you done in the past?
Ooh, let's see. I did a Farscape Park podcast called Escape Cast. I co-hosted that one for several years. That was a lot of fun. I do one for The Legend of the Seeker called The Seeker Cast.
Oh.
Done a couple of Dollhouse podcasts as well, and.
Nice.
You know, so, you know, lots of fun.
How many, what was the Dollhouse one called?
The current one we're doing right now is called Active Architecture. It's a retrospective. I was also involved in the one that aired when the show was airing called the Dollhouse Podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dollhouse is another one of those things that you almost had to stick with it, and it's unfortunate that it didn't find its footing sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how you feel about the series finale, but I was just sorely disappointed.
Yeah, they tried to wrap way too much up
yes,
too fast to be anywhere near as satisfying as
there was more exposition in that than a Tolkien novel, really.
But it's funny because talking about Dollhouse is a perfect example of some of the great stuff at DragonCon a couple of years ago. I'm guessing maybe 2009. As you know, normally, you know, the guests, the celebrities have their panels for Q&As, and there are fan panels, and usually they don't cross. But that year they did a couple of panels where celebrities sat with fans for discussion panels, and I was lucky enough to be on one with Felicia Day.
Ah, nice.
Because she was in Dollhouse, and the panel was initially scheduled to be just a fan panel, and then when they decided to do this later on, you know, she was added. Naturally, the room was changed to one of the bigger rooms, and those of us who were on there were thinking – we had held, you know, lined up a set of topics we thought we'd talk about, and we all were like, well, forget that. Felicia's there. We're going to end up talking, you know, people are just going to come up to the mic and have 100 questions for her. And sure enough, when it started, the first few people who came to the mic with questions were, you know, Felicia, what about blah, blah, blah? And the rest of us were kind of twiddling our thumbs. But after a few initial questions, 2/3 of the panel was all geared towards talking, you know, I'd like to know what the podcast through think of this. And Felicia was getting such a kick out of it because by then, like Sunday, she was losing her voice because it was her first time at con. And she loved the fact that she didn't have to do anything but just smile and let us take it from there. So the fans, you know, just wanted to talk about the show.
Yeah, and you're right. That is one of the great things about DragonCon. And what sets it apart from other more corporate conventions, shall we say, is that it is really a fan-run thing. Is there? Do you have any particular memory that over the years that you've that sticks in your mind about Dragon Con that you had a guest you met or some sort of I don't know event that's basically what I'm trying to say. Words are hard, and you try to get them out in an order that makes sense. I am failing right now, but anyway, you know what I mean.
Yes,
is there anything?
Yeah.
Answer the question. Why don't you understand me?
There have been so many.
When did you stop beating your droid?
It's hard to put one above the other because usually every year, as you probably know, there's usually one quintessential moment that you really just love for the way it sets up the entire con. I'm still struck by that very first year when we went, as you kind of alluded to a little earlier, being 2005, there wasn't yet a podcasting track.
Right.
There was only one podcasting event, and it was held at like 11:30 p.m. on a Friday. And, you know, but it ended up pretty well attended, and that kind of was a kickoff to eventually doing the podcasting track. So it was great to meet podcasters there. But related to that, a little earlier in the day, the first day I was there, Friday, and I had no idea. I was a newbie. I mean, I was just starstruck and awestruck with the amount of people. Mm-hmm. But some of these podcasters way back early that I had met that I hung around with for a few minutes were just meeting. And then one of them was Swoopy from Skepticality, who runs the podcasting track.
Right.
And she was like, oh, you know, she met us, she knew us from the signal, and she's like, I'm sure you folks want to go get in line for the Firefly guest who was there. And we're like, oh, yeah, you know, let's go do that. And I had no idea that you really should have been in line 2 hours earlier. So we went down and realized the line was like around the building and all. And as we started to walk the line a little bit, Swoopy was saying, oh, signal crew people here, you know, and a lot of people just came out of the line to shake our hand because they were big listeners, let us cut in line. It was just, I was amazed how quickly I felt at home, and everybody just wanted to talk about the stuff that we loved. And it's the community of Dragon Con that every year I meet more and more great people who are willing to help, and you want to return the favor to them. So it's just, it's amazing.
Now, I have a different take on that. I think Swoopy was just using you to get cuts in the line. That's my take on that. No, Swoopy, if you're listening, I'm kidding.
I cannot tell for sure, but it was a pretty special experience.
But she was really pressing that. The signal, guys. Hey, you know, the signal. Hey, you should really – they want to talk to you, right? No.
But it's also been a lot of fun to do live podcasts. We've done now several live podcasts at Dragon Con as part of the podcasting track. And I was someone – I don't know about you. I mean, when I was in school or college, kind of kept to myself. I was not good in front of a crowd or in front of a room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. I get at Dragon Con or I get doing a podcast – and I feel so at home, I have no problem. I just think it's the greatest thing ever. It doesn't even make me nervous at all like it used to in front of a, you know, classroom or whatever with 50 people. I can get in front of a couple hundred now and just be right at home.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, especially if you've had a lot of practice sitting in front of your computer, such as we are now, and talking to the mic, it does make it easier. And you know what? But the thing is, too, with... especially with being at Dragon Con, you're in front of friends. Whether you know, I have yet to see anybody judge anybody for anything really at Dragon Con. I'm sure, other than the judges judging at the babes and superheroes,
comic book babes or
whatever they are, the comic book babes, whatever. What is it called now? It's called something else.
It is. It has a new name. It's a little more appropriate. Do not have it on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. But the, so to speak. Anyway, the, what was I going to say? Yeah, judging things, words. Again, yeah. Words, difficult. Getting them out, hard.
yeah. No,
don't you like being the guinea pig for the fan podcast? Anyway, go on.
But yeah, no, it's just that willingness to help someone else. I mean, I still remember, like I said, those first couple of years, how lost I was, how little I knew. Total strangers were helping me, pointing me in the right direction, you know, suggesting which hallways not to get into between panels in terms of getting stampeded.
Wow, yeah.
And other suggestions that it's nice to be paying it back now a few years later by you know, just doing similar things with folks.
How do you feel about the, this is kind of a duh question, but how do you feel about the policy with the hotels and the badges and whatnot, not being able to get into the hotels without a badge or a room key?
Oh, I'm so glad they started doing it because, as you know, it kind of got out of hand with the football folks and everything else in town.
And I am a football fan, but
oh, me too. Season ticket holder, but that's still not, you know.
Yeah, some of that stuff that happened, I don't know, was that 3 years ago? That became where it just became completely out of control. It had to be 3 years.
Two or three. I don't remember what which was the worst, but yeah, it kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, as a reminder, they actually are stepping up that this year. In fact, I guess the hotels have said that they're open to making it even longer hours. So in other words, I think before you could have snuck in, say,
7 o'clock,
yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think that they're going to start checking even earlier now to prevent anything, anyone from getting in there that shouldn't necessarily be there. Which is great because, as I've said before, you know, we've paid to do this. They haven't. And, you know, I don't blame them. If I was in town, I'd be trying to come down and check it out, too,
sure.
If I didn't want to.
Little free entertainment just to hang around the lobby and see all these geeks and things going on. I don't
sweet.
Blame them at all.
But really, let's face it, Dragon Con has grown even beyond the stated numbers. that at some point it becomes, you know, a fire hazard as well. So you can't, if you just let everybody in and you can't take a proper count of people, it becomes a problem.
Yeah,
I did have someone...
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we did have one incident last year, though, with our group where they were actually trying to, they had paid, but they couldn't get into the hotel because they hadn't gotten their badge yet. And they had arrived, they started enforcing it Thursday night, I believe. And so they were trying to get into the hotel, but they couldn't, of course, pick up their badge because registration was closed. And so they were kind of disappointed on that front. But... I don't know. At some point, you're going to get those little things that happen with those with that. Then take the good with the bad. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, it's the intent is there. It's working for the most part. But again, like you said, when you got tens of thousands of people, there are going to be situations where it doesn't quite work as planned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of rolling with it.
What do you do for safety wise as far as getting through the hallways? I've yet to figure out a way of not getting hit by a foam axe.
Well, as you know, it's the timing, knowing
when to duck.
Panels are ending, which ones are going to tend to be the busiest, you know, what shortcut can I take or avoid at a certain time of day. After many years, that's easier to tell, but yeah, sometimes you just have to dive into the sea of people. You have no choice.
It's funny, though, now that the those steps off of, let's see, Hyatt, Marriott, off the Marriott over to the Hilton now is actually a shortcut. Whereas before it used to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, trying to traverse those steps down the back of the Hyatt to the Marriott.
Yeah. Take your life in your hands.
Was a killer and everything else.
What? Who built that? Who thought that was a good idea?
I do not know. Well, they only had so much space there. It's a small street, so it's one of those things you got no
still,
real choice.
But,
that was horrible.
The angle that they chose on those things, I can't believe that's legal. Especially because, you have like 6 foot before you wind up in the street?
Yeah.
So, like, if you come down there at any sort of speed and trip, you're going to wind up in the middle of the street.
Well, and as you know, especially when you'd have a mass of people, all it took was one or two people nearer the back tripping forward, and all of a sudden the whole crowd's getting pushed into the street.
Right. I can't even believe.
So, it was treacherous. That was definitely one to avoid at a crowded time, if you could.
Right. And probably, you know, when you've had a few too many, that's also a place to avoid.
What? That happens?
Really? Yes, at Dragon Con, no way. You're kidding. You're kidding. Stay in school, kids. Don't drink and drive. What else? what other panels have you done in the past that have really stood out in your mind?
Well, we have a lot of fun usually every year. Kelly is nice enough to let me lead a sci-fi movies panel in terms of this year's is going to be the good, the bad, and five things you never knew. So we tend to get some people who come in very passionate about how awful these movies are, and some talk about how good they are. And some years that's divulged into 30 minutes in, people coming up and making up their own title names and who can come up with the craziest one. So it makes for a very fun and interactive panel. But sometimes you get the passionate folks who want to tell you that they should stop all the movies and bring back BSG and somehow think that I'm involved in that somehow.
Yeah. Okay. So. I don't disagree with you. Sure, bring back BSG. Why not? Well, I don't know. What do you want from me?
I have no checks made out to me from sci-fi folks. I have no input on that. So it's just a fan talking to another fan. Sometimes you got to keep that in perspective.
As far as BSG is concerned, were you a fan?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it ended when it had to end. There's a couple season. There's a couple of episodes toward in the last season that kind of, I don't know. You might have been able to stretch out one more season out of it, but I think that it was pretty much timed appropriately, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, and I, as much as I love any of the shows I love, I'd rather see them go out on a high note or a respectful way to be able to, you know, not only enjoy it, but be able to refer new fans to it rather than tell them, okay, only watch seasons 1 through 3 of this show. Don't bother with the last one. You know, you don't want to be at that point.
Yeah. See Lost.
I was not putting out names.
There's a couple seasons there that maybe you could just, you know, skip. There's a couple episodes in there.
A little roller coaster at some points. But again, that's like a typical show where once they were allowed to have a defined end, so we didn't have to, have the windy road, it certainly got better.
Oh, same man after my own heart. It's exactly what I said. That's a defense I always give to that. As soon as they knew when it was supposed to end, the writing became tighter.
Yes.
They knew exactly where they had to go. I don't. The finale has its flaws, but once they found out where they were going, it was perfect. I think the timing on it was perfect. The writing, well, as much as perfect as anything in the geek world where we will nitpick anything. So, right after my own heart. Perfect. Yep. As you said, exactly what I was
saying. I'd rather see that. It's tough because doing a podcast like we do, and as you mentioned, so many shows you watch, so many fervent fans want their show to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love that in concept, folks, I'm afraid, you know, money and writing skills just aren't going to quite happen that way. So,
see The Simpsons.
Understand.
Anyway, well, let me ask you, where can people find you if they want to find you? We're Twitter, Facebook, MySpace.
Around on most of them. If on Twitter, it's my first initial K and last name, which is Batchelder. If you go to Facebook and search for Kevin Batchelder, you know, you'll probably find me there. And our primary podcast is at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Sweet. So that's tuningintosci-fi.com, right?
Tuning into sci-fi TV.
TV.com. Ah, got it. Okay. I missed the TV part. And it's all, you do the, that's where you do the B-movie reel?
Yep. Saturday B-movie reel is there. Real. Our community podcast, the study group as well. So we get lots of stuff there.
Yeah. Cool. And you guys put out but one or at least one podcast a week, but it looks like 2 or 3.
Yes. On average, we got 3 or 4 going out every week.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. I hope you've enjoyed your time here.
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, really appreciate all the hard work you put into these, John. They're great every year. I look forward to them.
I appreciate it. That's why I take a vacation here in the middle. As I've told people already, I'll be on a boat the next week. So hopefully I have enough content to fill the week while I'm gone. Otherwise, there might be a couple of dead airs. So
they'll be storming the castle when you get back.
Yeah, right. they'll be like, oh, he's not around. Good. Shut up. Finally. The stammering has stopped. All right, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. And again, folks, any links that you need to Kevin's information, you can head over to theuniquegeek.com and we'll have it there in the post. And until next time, this is John for Kevin saying peace.
Take care, gang.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.